The Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi calls for the expansion of ties with Pakistan, saying the two sides have decided to increase their annual bilateral trade by $10 billion. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation calls for a probe into the Israeli war crime in Gaza's Nasser Hospital, where some 280 civilian bodies have been recovered from mass graves. And Israel's spy chief resigns over intelligence failure in preventing the Hamas October the 7th operation. Hello and welcome. You've tuned to World News. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Iran's president, who is visiting Pakistan, says the two sides intend to boost the volume of trade by $10 billion as a first step. Ibrahim Raisi made the remark during a joint presser with Pakistani Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif in Islamabad. Raisi added that the two countries are determined to improve political, economic, and cultural relations. Sharif, for his part, reiterated that the two countries' concern over the ongoing Israeli onslaught on Gaza. Well, the premier said Islamabad will work with Tehran toward the creation of a Palestinian state with Al-Quds as its capital. Prior to the press conference, Iran and Pakistan signed 8 memoranda of understanding for cooperation in different fields. Raisi is scheduled to meet with top Pakistani officials during his 2-day visit. He is expected to visit Sri Lanka after wrapping up his Pakistan visit. A former Pakistani diplomat, Zamir Ahmed Awan, was earlier with us to discuss the significance of the visit by the Iranian president to Pakistan.
We are neighbors, we are brothers, we are Muslim countries, and we have excellent traditional friendship between Iran and Pakistan. Definitely, both countries enjoy extremely warm friendship and very active cooperation. But with this visit, the relationship will be strengthened further. In the public also, Iran has very, very good reputation, and people of Pakistan also warmly welcome the president of Iran and his accompanying delegation. Definitely, Pakistan was looking forward for his visit, and there will be an opportunity to develop more trust, friendship, and strengthen the cooperation between two brotherly countries. There are some hindrances from some of the outside countries, and America is the leading that hindrances. But it is up to Iran and Pakistan that bilateral relation we should strengthen, and we should trust each other, and we should promote our close friendship and economic ties. There will be pressure from American, especially the sanctions. But it is still, I believe, that it is between Pakistan and Iran.
Iran says a response to Israel's attack on the country's embassy in Syria was a legitimate act of deterrence and in compliance with international law. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman said in a weekly presser that Operation True Promise was meant to prevent further Israeli acts of aggression and to restore peace and stability to the region. Nasser Kanani stressed that the Iranian attacks were successful, despite more than 20 countries working together to repel them. The spokesman further slammed the U.S., the U.K., and France for blocking a Security Council statement that sought to condemn the Israeli strike. He denounced Israeli attacks across the region, including in Syria and in Iraq, saying such strikes violate the sovereignty of U.N. member states. Earlier, we talked to our Gaza correspondent, Moti Abu Musabe, for updates regarding Israeli attacks on the besieged Gaza Strip. Here's what he had to say.
The last night was horrific for the Palestinian people across all areas of Gaza Strip, whereas the Israeli occupation forces persisted and continued their airstrikes against all areas of Gaza Strip. But let me begin with the latest attack that targeted a group of the Palestinian civilians here in Deir el-Balah City in the popular market in the central area of Deir el-Balah City. The Israeli warplanes targeted a group of the Palestinian civilians. Multiple and dozens of the Palestinian casualties were left behind that attack. Over the last night as well, the Israeli warplanes carried out an airstrike against a residential building in Al-Prouk neighborhood in Deir el-Balah, in the southern part of Deir el-Balah city. The entire residential building was completely destroyed over those attacks. And here, in addition to that, in the central area of Gaza Strip, basically in an Nusayrat refugee camp, the Israeli warplanes also continued and intensified their airstrikes against the northern part of a Nusayrat refugee camp. Several Israeli airstrikes hit that area. In addition to that, the Israeli artillery shelling was maintained against those areas, including Al-Mughraga neighborhood, Al-Zahra town, and Gaza village area. In addition to that, multiple Israeli shells actually targeted the upper floor of the Al-Awda hospital in a Nusayrat refugee camp. The entire solar panels there were completely destroyed and devastated over that attack.
Well, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation has deplored as a horrific massacre the recent revelation of IOF crimes at Nasser Hospital in Gaza's Khan Yunis. The OIC has condemned the execution and mass burial of hundreds of Gazans as a war crime and crime against humanity and organized state terrorism. It says those executed were medical teams, patients, and refugees taking shelter in Nasser Hospital. The OIC has urged the International Criminal Court and the International Court of Justice to assume their responsibility in this regard. Civil service workers in Gaza have recovered the bodies of 283 Palestinians in several mass graves in the Nasser Hospital yard, most of them women, children, and the elderly. Some of those executed were blindfolded and handcuffed. Meanwhile, the Israeli military's intelligence chief has resigned over failures leading to the unprecedented operation by Hamas against the regime on October the 7th. Major General Aharon Haliva is the first high-ranking Israeli official to step down for failing to prevent the attack. In a resignation letter, Haliva said the intelligence division did not live up to the task that they were entrusted with and called for an investigation into the circumstances. The failure of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to prevent Hamas's operation has deeply divided high-ranking Israeli officials. The regime has also witnessed mass protests for the past 6 months against Netanyahu's handling of the war on Gaza. Meanwhile, Zionist forces carry out yet another raid in the occupied West Bank amid simmering tensions in the region. Regime's military targeted the northeastern city of Tubas in the raid. During the incursion, explosions could be heard across the city. Israel stepped up its raids across the West Bank since the regime began its onslaught on Gaza on October the 7th. Meanwhile, Palestinian resistance fighters have carried out an anti-Israeli operation in Al-Quds. According to initial reports, three Israelis were wounded in the suspected car ramming attack. Palestinians say such moves are in response to decades of Israeli atrocities. Now, the regime has killed at least 482 Palestinians on the West Bank since October the 7th. Meanwhile, our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Candil, tells us about the fresh Israeli incursions into cities across the occupied West Bank and Palestinians fighting back.
The Israeli military claims that a Palestinian arrived at one of the, bus stations inside Al-Quds, and he rammed his vehicle into Israelis there in two different incidents, and that two Israelis had been wounded and transferred to hospitals inside Al-Quds. The Israeli military is claiming that this attacker, as they are saying, succeeded to flee the scene and left the area last night, and after the late hours of the night, Israeli settlers raided the village of Burqa near Ramallah. They set ablaze a number of Palestinian vehicles. They tried to burn a Palestinian home, and at the same time the Israeli settlers set fire to a sheep barn, and they slaughtered a number of goats and sheep, according to the residents of Burqa. And at the same time, the Israeli forces raided the village of Burqa in order to provide cover for the Israeli settlers. The Israeli forces, meanwhile, stormed several areas across the occupied West Bank. They raided Qalqilia, Tobas, Maythaloun, South Jenin, and northern the occupied West Bank. In Balata refugee camp, East Nablus, exchange of fire have taken place between the Palestinian fighters and the Israeli forces. And the Israeli troops stormed Douma village south in Nablus and arrested a number of Palestinians there.
Well, the exchange of fire between Hezbollah resistance forces and the Israeli army continues along the border between Lebanon and the occupied territories. Reports have emerged of the activation of Israel's Iron Dome system in several settlements. Well, Hezbollah says it's downed an advanced Israeli Hermes drone. Our Lebanon correspondent, Mariam Saleh, brings us the details.
We know that the sirens are sounding in at least 12 Israeli settlements all across the Galilee region. This is also in addition to the sounds of explosions in those skies of over several of the settlements like Kiryat Shmona, Kfar Blum, Hanita, and Ishiad Yashuf, Shlomi, as well as Edmit. Those sounds of explosions, as we know, are the sounds of the fact that the Iron Dome system had been activated. But Hezbollah has, of course, launched several operations. There was significant launch targeting of the espionage devices in the border area that is facing the town of Al-Wazani. And that is considered, of course, one of the many times when Hezbollah has targeted espionage devices even after they had targeted everything on the border. The Israelis are attempting to plant new devices, and every time a new device is planted, Hezbollah seems to target that. Hezbollah has also targeted groups of soldiers. You mentioned that also in the Western Galilee part. We have one instance which was in the vicinity of the Hanita post, and another group of soldiers that were deployed surrounding the Al-Dhaira post. And this is, of course, also part of the tactics of Hezbollah, making sure that they target military personnel, not only devices. But the most significant, I think, in the last 24 hours was the fact that Hezbollah has taken down a Hermes 450. That is the fifth Israeli UAV that Hezbollah has taken down. Now Hezbollah has taken this on camera. They have aired footage of the fact that they have taken it down.
Meanwhile, people in different parts of the world continue to turn out in large numbers to protest against the ongoing Israeli genocide of war in Gaza. In the Canadian city of Toronto, people have once again taken to the streets to demand their government end its support for the Israeli regime. Our correspondent Camila Escalante reports from the scene.
Well, I'm in downtown Toronto, and once again, like every weekend, hundreds of people, if not thousands, are coming out here today to protest against the genocidal Zionist regime holding of hostages, of prisoners, for, of course, we know, many decades. That's the theme of this weekend's march. There are people here who have gathered alongside different organizations affiliated actually with their neighborhoods, because within the last 6 months, these organizations have kind of spurred up and began organizing locally against the genocide, and in order to approach their ministers of parliament and to try to tell them that it's simply not acceptable that they not call for a ceasefire. And now the demand has become a total two-way comprehensive arms embargo between Canada and Israel. They said some of the things that the Canadian government has done thus far have been only symbolic. A lot of expressions from the Canadian government of concerns with what's going on with Gaza, but not anything substantive in terms of actually trying to end the genocide in Gaza and Canada's complicity. It's also really important to say, one thing that we've been reporting for several months is that there is a significant amount of material that has been gathered by the International Center for Justice for Palestinians, a group of lawyers, academics, and experts, about the possibility of a case against Canada at the ICJ, in the same way that Nicaragua has taken Germany, the German government, to the International Court of Justice. Lawyers here in Canada say that they also want to take the Canadian state to the ICJ for its crimes, saying they have even more of a case than the case that exists against Germany.
And moving now to India, where the opposition Congress Party has accused Prime Minister Narendra Modi of Islamophobic remarks. During a general election rally in Rajasthan state, Modi claimed his opponents would distribute India's wealth to, quote, infiltrators if they won power. The remarks were widely seen as a reference to India's Muslim minority, which comprises a population of around 290 million people. The opposition labeled Modi's remarks as a panic-filled hate speech and a ploy to divert the people's attention from the opposition's strong performance in the first phase of the polling. Modi's Hindu Nationalist Party has long been accused of driving religious polarization through its anti-Muslim policies, giving rise to a wave of Islamophobia and deadly communal clashes across the South Asian country. And now to southern China, where tens of thousands of people have been evacuated as days of heavy rain caused massive flooding in the region. The downpours have killed four people and 10 remained missing in the southern Guangdong province. Search and rescue efforts are ongoing in neck-high waters. Several major rivers burst their banks after the heavy storms. Now, authorities say they are closely monitoring the dangerously high water levels. April has seen the most rainfall in China's recorded history. Guangdong province is a densely populated manufacturing heartland and home to around 127 million people. And with that brings us to the end of this Worldless edition right here. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
The Limelight. A coalition of 34 Harvard University student organizations has condemned the Israeli regime's bombardment of the besieged Gaza Strip. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The American newspaper The Boston Herald has covered this story and tells us more. The Harvard Law School student government has passed a resolution calling on the university to fully divest from any institution that supports the ongoing Israeli genocide of Palestinians in war-torn Gaza. The resolution pushes the Harvard Management Company, HMC, which oversees the university's $50 billion endowment, to divest completely from weapons manufacturers, firms, academic programs, corporations, and all other institutions that aid the ongoing occupation of Palestine and the genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. In the resolution, the Harvard Law School student government points to Harvard's investment of nearly $200 million in companies tied to the Israeli military and illegal Israeli settlements in Palestine, as well as the Harvard Management Company's previous divestment from South African apartheid regime in 1986 and the tobacco industry in 1990. The resolution's author, Harvard Law School student Swap Agrawal, who also serves as co-president of the law school student government, said members of the body have heard from students who felt strongly that this call was necessary to put pressure on things to change. Agrawal said in a statement on Friday night, 29th of March, Palestinian students at Harvard Law School have lost dozens of family members in the ongoing genocide. Students are deeply troubled that money held in trust for their benefit is being used to support that genocide. Agrawal revealed the resolution was influenced by the International Court of Justice's statement in January, which found it plausible that Israel has engaged in actions that breached the Genocide Convention. Two board members stepped down following the resolution vote, where 12 members supported, 4 opposed, and 3 abstained. Regina Denigris and Cameron Atkins wrote in their resignation letter that they stepped down because they strongly disagreed with the resolution being considered by the student government. They claimed that an anonymity motion passed at a 26th of March meeting was in violation of a provision of the student government constitution stating that all votes of the student council should be held in open session and minutes shall be made public. In a statement on Friday, 29th of March, Harvard University spokesperson Jason Newton made it clear it opposes calls for a policy of boycotting Israel and its academic institutions, citing former university president Lawrence Bako's response to the Crimson Editorial Board's 2022 endorsement of the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement. Earlier this year, Claudine Gay, former president of Harvard, stepped down after pro-Palestinian demonstrations on campus amid Israel's ongoing war in Gaza and also accusations of plagiarism. During a testimony, Claudine Gay faced criticism for not addressing the issue of the so-called genocide of Jews as a violation of Harvard's code of conduct. Some members of Congress also accused Gay of not doing enough to condemn and combat anti-Semitism on Harvard's campus. Qatar's Al Jazeera television network has also covered this story and tells us more. A coalition of 34 Harvard University student organizations has condemned the Israeli regime's bombardment of the besieged Gaza Strip. In a statement published recently, the students said they hold the Israeli regime entirely responsible for all unfolding violence in Gaza. The statement added, "The apartheid regime is the only one to blame." The organizations signing the letter, including Muslim and Palestinian support groups as well as others named for a variety of backgrounds, including the Harvard Jews for Liberation and the African American Resistance Organization. Harvard University has produced 8 former presidents and 4 of the 9 current Supreme Court justices. However, Harvard University alumni criticized the pro-Palestinian statement and urged the university to take action against the signatories. Lawrence Summers, the former U.S. Treasury Secretary under President Bill Clinton, and former university president, was one of several Harvard graduates to criticize the current Harvard leadership for failing to declare clear support for Israel. Recently, New York City Mayor Eric Adams drew fire for promoting violence and Islamophobia over his remarks referring to pro-Palestine protesters as extremists. Hundreds of people marched in Manhattan to express their support for Palestine. The Israeli regime has started its war machine against the Palestinians in the wake of a surprise major operation by the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas against the occupiers. The multi-pronged operation was launched from Gaza in response to months of violence against the Palestinians in the occupied West Bank and the continued presence of Israeli extremists in the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex. Independent observers believe that Washington and its Western allies have been active partners in the Israeli regime's ongoing crimes and atrocities against Palestinians in Gaza. The website Axios has also covered the same story. The chief executive officers running a whole host of American business giants have urged the blacklisting of the Harvard University students who recently signed a statement calling out Israel for the developments that have been unfolding across the occupied territories and the Gaza Strip over the past several months. The chief executive officers, who run a whole host of American business giants, demanded the witch hunt 2 days after the issuance of the statement by a coalition of 34 Harvard University organizations. The students said they hold the Israeli regime entirely responsible for all unfolding violence in Gaza. Calling up an unprecedented 300,000 reservists, the Israeli regime has declared a long war on Gaza in response to Operation Al-Aqsa Storm. Gaza's resistance movement initiated the operation in response to the occupying regime's decades-long campaign of bloodshed and destruction against Palestinians in Gaza. The Israeli war has so far massacred tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians, including women and children. The military campaign has seen the regime leveling entire districts of Gaza and featured its use of banned white phosphorus munitions against the densely populated neighborhoods in Gaza. The Harvard University student statement said, "The apartheid regime is the only one to blame for the developments in Gaza." Moving ahead of the others, billionaire hedge fund chief executive officer Bill Ackman demanded that Harvard University release the names of the students. Bill Ackman said in a post on X, "If the members support the letter, the names of the signatories should be made public so their views are publicly known."
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 185th sermon of Nahjul Balagha, and we have discussed a few important points that were there in this particular sermon, and especially on the phrases that I had chosen, which are with regards to be careful about the blessings that we get and how to use them in a way that they should not make us engrossed and pull our attention away from our aims and objectives as a society. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he describes this particular state as a drunkenness, when a community and a society kind of becomes oblivious of its duties and its responsibilities towards the aims and objectives that it has achieved. It might be doing a lot of activities, but they are all in the wrong direction, and therefore they will see that their aims and objectives are not being achieved, and they feel that there is no progress. This is basically because of that kind of state that they enter into.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, we talked about the fact that these blessings can lead to many problems in the society if a person is not planned for them. One of them is that we notice the class difference between the rich and the poor becomes very vast. That means we see the difference and the gap between the rich and the poor increase. Another issue that can face is that we see people that were good in their lives, they become corrupt due to the wealth. They become spiritually corrupt, the families become divided, they become misguided, and many other problems that a community and a people can face because of this. Now, you see, it is when we look at societies in the past, and we look at societies today even, and we look at families, for example, that suddenly became wealthy, or a person who was poor and suddenly becomes wealthy, we notice that sometimes it could be possible, and a person should not judge them, but a person may have witnessed a vast change in that person. And that change could not be positive at times. So we need to draw that line in our lives from the very beginning on how we will use that wealth, and that we will use it in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially when the wealth becomes accumulated by people who are in position. And when that happens, then people, they lose hope in the system. So, as this is especially focusing on the governments, that if there is a government and there are people that are working in the government, they need to be careful on how they achieve wealth and how they utilize that wealth, so that that balance remains and the people always remain hopeful in the community.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Nahjul Balagha, translated as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings that reflected Imam Ali's profound insights on governance, ethics, spirituality, and social justice. Sayyid Razi's meticulous work in preserving and presenting Imam Ali's words has made Nahjul Balagha a timeless source of inspiration for scholars, theologians, and seekers of wisdom.
Now, we will go to other narrations from Imam Ali alayhi salam, especially when it comes to the wealth of the rich, of the people that are in power. So, Imam Ali alayhi salam, for example, says, "An-nasu bi umara'ihim ashbahu minhum bi aba'ihim." The riwayat says, it's in Tuhfa al-Uqul, page number 208. He says that people are more similar to their leaders than they are to their fathers. Now, this is a kind of a dangerous narration. That means you as a leader of the society, you need to be really careful. Yes, the father and the parents and the family may have an influence, but your influence as a leader is more profound. You who are in a leadership position, however small or however big, note that you are creating an effect into the hearts of the people. So you need to be careful. Or for example, Imam Ali alayhi salam says in another narration, in another sermon of Nahjul Balagha, he says, لا تصلح الرعية إلا بصلاح الولاة, that citizens will never become good and they will never change except when the leaders and the governors change. So again, this only emphasizes how we need to be careful about who we choose as leaders, who becomes a leader, and how a leader should be careful about his actions and his duties. And now, especially when we notice that the people notice that the leadership is just enjoying themselves, is just enjoying itself in terms of the material, material way, and at the same time, let's say it is misappropriating funds, misusing funds and all of these things. If the people see this, then they will become like that. And this will be the start of the destruction of the society. So, this sukrun ni'mah, to become drunk because of the blessings, one of the areas where it can be damaging is when it affects the leadership and the people that are in authority. And that in turn can affect the whole society and cause destruction. And therefore we need to be very careful as people, especially if we have leadership positions, to make sure we live a life of purity and of integrity. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom. قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد مجيد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. Or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The Zionist regime is abusing UNRWA employees detained in Gaza in order to extract forced confessions against the agency, with detainees describing being subjected to acts of torture. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the first part, please. The Electronic Intifada wrote, "The Zionist regime is abusing UNRWA employees detained in Gaza in order to extract forced confessions against the agency, with detainees describing being subjected to acts of torture. The forced confessions are likely to be used by the Zionist regime in an attempt to incriminate UNRWA, the United Nations Agency for Palestine Refugees. The Zionist regime is seeking to starve UNRWA out of existence through smears and unsubstantiated allegations aimed at drying up the agency's voluntary funding." Philip Lazzarini, the head of the embattled agency, told the UN Security Council recently that the Zionist regime continues to block the provision of life-saving aid as part of its insidious campaign to push UNRWA out of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. More than a dozen countries, including top donors US and Germany, froze funding or suspended future support for UNRWA after the Zionist regime alleged that 12 of its employees were involved in the October 7th operation. The allegations were made public by the agency on January 26, the same day that the UN's World Court stated there is a plausible risk of genocide in Gaza. The fabricated regime of Israel has not presented the UN with evidence substantiating its allegations. Despite this, UNRWA dismissed the employees in question. The UN Secretary General ordered an investigation and an independent review of the agency's adherence to neutrality is expected to make its findings public in the coming days. During the Security Council meeting recently, Gilad Erdan, the Zionist regime's ambassador to the UN, accused UNRWA of creating a sea of Palestinian refugees, millions of them indoctrinated to believe that Israel belongs to them, unquote. UNRWA provides government-like services to 5.9 million registered Palestine refugees in Gaza, the West Bank, Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. The agency is mandated by the UN General Assembly to serve the hundreds of thousands of Palestinians who were displaced from their homeland during the ethnic cleansing of Palestine in 1948 and as a result of the 1967 and subsequent hostilities, as well as their descendants. Palestinian refugees' right of return is enshrined in UN General Assembly Resolution 194. The Zionist regime has denied Palestinians from exercising this right because doing so would alter the demographic character of Israel to the point of eliminating it as a Jewish state, as the UN's Economic and Social Commission for West Asia stated in a 2017 report. Several UN special rapporteurs stated in June 2023 on the occasion of World Refugee Day that since 1948, both the General Assembly and the Security Council have consistently called upon Israel to facilitate the return of Palestinian refugees and provide reparations. The special rapporteurs affirmed that the right of return constitutes a fundamental pillar of the Palestinian people's right to self-determination. Around two-thirds of Gaza's population of 2.3 million Palestinians are refugees. Nearly every Palestinian in the territory has been displaced from their home in the past 6 months. And the Zionist regime has gunned down people attempting to return to the areas from which they were displaced. A majority of Gaza's population is now concentrated in Rafah, along the boundary with Egypt, raising fears of a mass expulsion from the territory. At least 178 UNRWA employees are among the 34,000 Palestinians murdered in Gaza since October 7th. The Zionist regime has banned UNRWA from delivering aid to Gaza's north as children are dying of hunger and dehydration in violation of consecutive orders from the International Court of Justice to allow the unimpeded flow of aid. Lazzarini told the Security Council that we demand an independent investigation and accountability for the blatant disregard for the protected status of humanitarian workers, operations, and facilities under international law. UNRWA staff released from Israeli detention told their employer that in addition to ill treatment that may amount to torture, they were subjected to threats and coercion and pressure during interrogations to incriminate the agency. These forced confessions against the agency included that the agency has affiliations with the resistance groups and that UNRWA staff took part in the October 7th operation against the Zionist regime. According to UNRWA, some staff members were detained during the performance to their official duties for the UN, including while working at UNRWA installations, and in one case during a coordinated humanitarian movement. Detained UNRWA staff were subjected to a litany of abuses, they say, such as beatings, including by doctors, attacks by dogs, and threats of rape and electrocution. The agency said that its employees underwent treatment akin to waterboarding and had guns pointed at them. UNRWA staff also experienced verbal and psychological abuse, threats of murder, injury or harm to family members, humiliating and degrading treatment, being forced to strip and being photographed while they are undressed and being forced to hold stress positions. The agency has collected information from hundreds of Palestinians, men, women, and children, who were detained in Gaza since the beginning of Israel's ground operation in late October last year. Palestinians in Gaza have been detained by Israeli regime forces while sheltering in UNRWA facilities under the protection of the UN flag since mid-November. They have also been detained while attempting to flee south while working in hospitals or in the sanctity of their homes. Overall, possibly thousands of Palestinians, men and boys, and a number of women and girls have been detained in Gaza, the UN Human Rights Office said in mid-December. UNRWA says that as of April 4th, it has documented the release of more than 1,500 detainees from Gaza through the Karam Abu Salem crossing with Israel, including 43 children and 84 women. Detainees said they were taken in trucks to various detention centers in Israel and held incommunicado in between periods of interrogation, sometimes for several weeks, according to UNRWA. The transfer and detention of detainees outside of occupied territory are war crimes that violate the Fourth Geneva Convention and Rome Statute of International Criminal Court. The Zionist regime authorities subjected Palestinians, men and women, children, older persons with disabilities, according to UNRWA, to ill treatment throughout their detention.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz. a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble tradition which has been narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam regarding the reality of the remembrance of Allah. The remembrance of Allah, or the zikr of Allah, is one of the most virtuous and central virtues in the universe of Islamic ethics, and it plays a very central role in the spiritual progress of a human being. And for this reason, a lot of books have been written on it, a lot of treaties have been written on it by our scholars. In fact, in the Holy Quran, in a certain place, God Almighty describes the remembrance of Allah as being greater than the ritual prayers, right? Referred to as the purpose of the ritual prayers. Let's look at what Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says about the reality of the remembrance of Allah. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "Make your remembrance of Allah for the sake of the fact that He remembers you." Meaning, remember Him because He remembers you. He remembers you, He created you, He gives you sustenance, He has given us all these blessings. This is a testament to the fact that He remembers us. Because of this, we should remember Him. "For verily," the Imam says, "He remembers you, even though He is needless of you." He remembered us, He's giving to us sustenance, taking care of us, but He doesn't need to do so. He's not, by not doing so, He's not losing anything. But nevertheless, out of His benevolence and grace and generosity, He does so. So His remembrance, the Imam says, of you is loftier, more desirable, and more complete than your remembrance of Him. And it supersedes it. We remember Allah because we need to. We need Him. We are dependent on Him, right? We remember Him because we desire something from Him, the desire at least for the pleasures and the blessings of the hereafter. But He doesn't do so because of this. Rather, He remembers us because, He loves us. So whoever wishes to remember Allah Most High should know that as long as Allah does not remember His servant in the context of granting him divine succor to remember Him in the first place, the servant will not be capable of remembering Him. This is a reference to a very beautiful and spiritual, fact. And that is that when we remember Allah, in fact, before we do so, God is remembering us, because He's granting us the power, the opportunity, and the success to remember Him. This is, in itself a blessing that He has graced us with. Right? So before we remember Him, He remembers us, because He's granted us the tawfiq and the spiritual opportunity to remember Him. And so there's no way that we can remember Him before He remembers us, right? This is another testament to the superiority of His remembrance over our remembrance of Him. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the reality of the remembrance of God in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marcia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. As the Israeli genocide continues with fresh massacres every day, more and more people around the world are boycotting and protesting against the Zionist regime. In Western countries like the United States, which is the main supporter of the Israeli entity, protests on university campuses are on the rise, and so is the crackdown against them. As